Yeah, stand if you can. Yeah, praise the Lord. Good to see y'all here in the sanctuary this evening. And anybody that happens to be online, we're going to start out by praising with I Came to Praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus came just to set me free, and I came to praise the Lord. Jesus came just to set me free, and I came to praise the Lord. Jesus came just to set me free, and I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is coming back for me, and I came to praise the Lord. He is coming back for me, and I came to praise the Lord. He is coming back for me, and I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O sing glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised, for your name is great and great. total change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy over my soul. Like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Joy over my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take a one request. Let's do a pick of him. Who's got a name? Who's got a number? There's hundreds of good ones. Yeah, we can sing All Fly Away. 779? All right. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away when the shadows of this life have gone. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh. in the garden. Softly and tenderly. Never grow old. Okay. Not in a book. Well, yeah, is it? Look in the computer. If it's not in the hymnal. Yeah, look in the computer. Can I share a square foot with you? Okay, cool.
All right. Well, what praises do you have tonight? Praises. Amen, man. Praise the Lord for air conditioning. Man, it is some kind of hot out there. Yeah. Praises. That's good. It's good.
For D getting baptized.
It's great. That's great.
And
praise.
Good lunch with her. And we talked about her husband. And
yeah. Yeah.
And just got to get with him.
Got it.
And share some gospel facts with him about what it takes to be saved.
Amen. Amen. And what did we say? If he keeps coming, hearing the word, really hears it, it'll happen. Yeah, you got to be convicted unto sin. Convicted unto sin, called by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ding, 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 ding. It's time to get saved. Holy Spirit says, ding, 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 ding. You're a sinner. Need of a Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all find it?
Well, I found some lyrics, but I can't quite pick out the tune in my head.
Well, go see if you can figure it out back there, and we'll have you come back up.
Okay.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, brother.
I got parts of it.
Why do we not? Why is that not in the hymnal?
Never has been.
Never has been.
It's like the other one,
Mansion
in the Sky.
Okay. Not in the new hymnal. Maybe it was in the old hymnal. All right. Very good. Any other praises tonight? Praises. Anything else? All right, encouraging words, Bible stories, passages of Scripture, verses that have blessed you this last week. Yeah? Amen. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, right. 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 Amen. Amen. Yeah, right. I believe the Bible. Amen. True story. Yeah. Right. Amen. That's good. Samson and Elijah. That's good. I love the story about Samson, how he loses his sight, but he finally sees God. Yeah, with no physical sight. Samson's a guy that started off a little rough, but finally he ended his race well. He gave his life. He gave it all. He's a Christ type in a sense, giving his life at the very end. Says, just show me the pillars. Just line me up, man. And he did his deal to bring down the Philistines. So it's amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. And Elijah, of course, is always good, good, good. So it's good, good. All right, what else? Other scriptures?
James 3:17-18.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. Good. Amen. James 3:17-18. James 3:17-18, those of you online. We're talking about scriptures, Bible stories, passages in the Word that have blessed us this last week. And those of you watching online, you're more than welcome to chime in and type something out. And Brother Jeremiah can read it to me, your name and your passage, and we'll look it up or something. Somebody will read it here. You had your hand up back there, brother? Yeah. Right. Yes. Amen, brother. Yeah, it was, Bible says in Revelation chapters 9 and 16 that during the end times, a 200 million man army from the east will come to make war against Israel and her allies, Armageddon. They will come from China and her allies, Russia, Iran, Iraq, Taliban, etc., and will come through the Khyber Pass into and through Afghanistan and follow the dried up, and then that's as far as, oh, maybe there it is. The Khyber Pass, hold on, let me get back to it. Come through the Khyber Pass into and through Afghanistan and follow the dried up Euphrates River Valley across Iran and Iraq and into the Middle East. A third of mankind will die. Jesus will come back to earth physically to fight for his people and establish his earthly kingdom. If you are away from God, come home. He loves you. Amen. That's good. That's good, good, good. All right. Anything else? Encouraging words, passages of Scripture that have blessed you this last week, that have been a blessing to you, encourage you in your walk. All right. Well, let's take some prayer requests. I've got Brother Paul McCormick. He's recovering from cancer surgery. So, Brother Paul, if you're watching tonight, we're praying for you tonight, brother, that you would continue to heal up. He did get his drain tube out, it's my understanding, and so he's doing much better, feeling much better, having that drain tube taken out. So, Brother Paul McCormick, we continue to pray for him. Brother Ronnie Holman, if you're watching us, we're thankful that you had a successful cancer surgery, and we understand that Brother Ronnie's going back to his oncologist here in, I don't know, 8 or 9 days. To find out what the next steps are in his cancer treatment regimen. But we're thankful, Brother Ronnie, you came through that surgery, and we'll be praying for you tonight. Johnny Hyman is not doing very well with the COVID. His pulse ox is staying in the mid-90s, but anytime he tries to eat or move or whatever, his pulse ox goes down. So he does have some pneumonia in his lungs from this Delta variant. So continue. Socorro will be praying for Johnny tonight. Brian DeBose and his dad, Aubrey, of course, his wife, Rebecca, their family, all his extended family. How many kids is there? Is there Brian? Is Brian the only child, or is there Brian and others? Yeah, Brian DeBose, does he have brothers and sisters? I do not know. He does? Well, we want to lift up their entire family then. In the passing of his mom, Aubrey's wife, of course, his dad's bride. So she died from pneumonia. We're assuming that is a COVID-related sickness, but we don't know for sure. But anyway, she has gone on to be with the Lord. So Bobby DeBose, want to lift up Brian, Rebecca, his dad, Aubrey. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. All right. Thank you, Loopy. All right. Very good. Outstanding. And then John Davlin. I had no idea John Davlin had a daughter from previous marriage, but that daughter passed away I don't know how many years ago, but his former son-in-law just died from COVID yesterday. So went in the hospital in Florida. Right, kind of where the epicenter is. I mean, you know, it's bad here in the medical center, but, you know, well, could it be worse? Yeah, you could go to Mississippi where Miss Terry's at. You could go to Louisiana. You could go to Florida. Yeah, it can get even worse than what it is here. But John Davlin's former son-in-law He had some COVID morbidities. He was overweight. I don't know if he was diabetic or not. But anyway, he didn't last long. So he passed away in Florida in his 40s. 42, something like that, 41. So be in prayer for John and Marilyn Davlin and their extended family. And then Brother Bill Neal passed away. I'm trying to think what day he passed. Vicki? What day? On the 11th? Now, today's the 22nd. Friday. Okay. Yeah, I know. So Brother Bill passed away Friday? That's correct. Okay. And services for George Neal. Name is George. We call him Bill. Or Brother Bill. His services, the viewing. There was a little confusion on the viewing. I think at one time it was going to be Tuesday afternoon from 6 to 8, which was going to make it possible for people traveling from work and stuff. But with the COVID now and things kind of getting a little crazy, they've moved that visitation to 9 a.m. the day of the funeral. So 9 a.m. is the viewing and visitation. 10 a.m. on Wednesday is the funeral. 12:30 p.m. is the graveside at Brookside, which is over off of 59. Is that correct? Yeah, beautiful cemetery. One of the nicest ones in Houston. And then the church will be feeding the family after the graveside in the gymnasium. We're going to try to social distance them as much as we can. That will be some logistical work for the school and the staff. And, yeah, good luck. Yeah, with all that going on, man. So prayers your way on that deal. So so viewing, funeral, graveside. Oh, I know, 58 families coming to pick up kids. Yeah, it's going to be a deal. So pray for safety, pray for that family, and pray that God would see them through during this time. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir, Vince. Okay. Yes, yes. And what were you telling me they're going to be completely without in 2 to 4 weeks? Okay. So not this isn't from some government bureaucrat. This is from a guy. Okay. Oh, that is it. Yeah, where she's at is it. All right, safety in Mississippi. Those poor folks, man. God love them. All right. You had a hand up. Somebody had a hand up. Yes, sir. Right here, Jeanette. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You never know. Yeah, 82 is a long life. Amen, brother. All right, we'll lift up Miss Jeanette. Just pray for her peace. Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen, brother. My dad, he's going on hospice, so be in prayer for Bob. So he's see how things go, bless his heart. He's hopefully getting to come home from the hospital tomorrow from Charlton. And then I think hospice is coming in sometime tomorrow afternoon to kind of meet with him and go over everything. So that's what's going on in my dad's life. What else? Other prayer needs? Anything else? Unspoken. All right, all right. What else? Anything else? Amen. Yeah, man. I cannot imagine handing your kids away, handing your babies away, just giving them up, boy. Oh, my soul. It's just mind-blowing. All right. Nation, Afghanistan. Yeah, it's crazy. What else? Anything else? Well, y'all excited about being here? Amen. Y'all want to pray? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we praise you for your goodness and for your grace, Lord. We're thankful that we can gather in your name and be in your word. And, Lord, look at our scripture tonight, Revelation 14 again. And Father God, before we start that tonight, we do want to lift up these prayer requests and be mindful of those around us that have needs that are greater than our own needs at the moment. And so, Lord, we want to help shoulder those needs and be a support of prayer encouragement. And, Lord, hope that these folks are encouraged in their hearts and in their very souls and in their very spirits as we pray for them tonight. Lord, thank you for how you connect it all via your Holy Spirit. And we're thankful for his presence here this evening. And, Lord, we're thankful for the truth that he illumines us to and shows us to and convicts us about and helps us with and all of those things that we talked about this morning. But Lord, we come to you, we lift up Brother Paul McCormick. We pray for his continued healing from this surgery that he's undergone for this lung cancer. Lord, we pray that there's no other cancer found in his body, that the lymph nodes did not have any cancer, Lord, and that he will not have to have any other cancer treatments at this time, Lord. We just pray for Brother Paul, pray that soon, the next day or two, he would get released from the hospital and get to come home, probably safer at his house than it is in the hospital right now with all of the COVID cases coming on that floor where he's at. So, Lord, we just lift up Brother Paul to you tonight. Pray for his safety. We pray for his healing. Pray that you might see him through. Lord, we lift up Brother Ronnie Holman to you. Nancy, Lord, we pray for them. We're thankful for Brother Ronnie's surgery that he's had for his cancer. And, Lord, we're praying for wisdom, discernment, direction on behalf of the surgeon, the oncologist, as they seek to get a game plan to do maybe some more surgery in another year or so, another 6 months or so. Lord, we just pray that you would heal his body up and, Lord, just see him through, get him, strengthen him up and get him over this surgery, Lord, so he can get back to some normalcy of life. We pray you protect them, protect their home. Be with Miss Nancy as she cares for him, Lord, and we're thankful for Ronnie and Nancy. We lift up Johnny Hyman to you, Sakura Hermes' son tonight, Lord. We pray for Johnny's pneumonia. We pray for his lungs. We pray, God, that you'd touch his body, bring healing to him. And, Lord, we pray that you just give him a testimony of a complete healing. We pray there'd not be any kind of permanent lung damage, any kind of lasting effects. Say past 6 months, God, we pray that he'd not be one of these long haulers, one of these long-termers with all this lingering side effects from the COVID. Father God, we pray you just heal him, touch him, and bring Johnny through this difficult time that he finds himself in. We lift up Brian DeBose and Aubrey DeBose and Rebecca and all their extended family and the loss of Brian's mom and Aubrey's wife from pneumonia. We lift them up. We pray your comforting mercies upon them. Lord, we pray that you help them with the arrangements, and Lord, that funeral, memorial, whatever they decide to do, would be a great celebration of her life and of the salvation that she possessed and had. We're thankful for Bobby and her life, and Lord, we just pray you be with that family and comfort them. We lift up John Davlin to you tonight in Maryland, and we pray for John's family and the loss of this former son-in-law. From the COVID, Lord, we pray that you comfort them. And, Lord, we pray for peace in that situation and, Lord, for some reconciliation in that situation. And, God, just things coming full circle in all of that deal, Lord. We lift up John to you in Maryland. Pray you just see them through as they deal with that from states away as this happened off in Florida. Lord, we pray for Ms. Karen and Gary and Todd Neil, Lord, as they deal with the loss of Brother Bill. And Lord, we pray for the services this coming Wednesday and for the viewing and Lord, for the funeral. And Lord, I know there's a lot of people want to go. And Lord, I pray that all the family would get to go. And Lord, those of us in the church, I pray we would be wise about the social distancing and all of that. It just sounds like it's going to be a pretty packed house already. So, Lord, we pray for wisdom and discernment and all that, but we do pray for the funeral. Pray that would be a great celebration of life and a testimony of salvation. And, Lord, we are thankful for Brother Bill's life and what he has meant to this church and to other churches through the years, Lord. We're thankful for his service as a deacon. And, Lord, we just pray for his family now that you'd comfort them and help them. Lord, we lift up Miss Terry to you. We pray you'd keep her safe and healthy there in Mississippi at that Samaritan's Purse COVID tent. And, Lord, just help her as she goes through her day. Keep her encouraged. And, Lord, we pray for these side effects, these complications that she's dealing with from her own cancer surgery. Lord, we pray that you would see her through and help her get to the end of this three-week tour before she comes back home. And, Lord, we just pray you keep all of those nurses and doctors safe from coming down with that Delta variant. But, Lord, we pray that you would help them just be the hands and the feet of Jesus as they treat those poor people that are coming in there just sicker than sick. So, Lord, we just lift up Miss Terry. We lift up that Samaritan Purse ministry. Lord, we're thankful for it. What a great need it meets there in Mississippi right now. Lift up James's mom to you, Lord. Jeanette, we pray for her peace. We pray for, Lord, for her calmness. Lord, help her with those times of anxiety and uneasiness, Lord. Just give her that touch. Give her that ease. Give her that peace, Lord. Help her in the night times. And, Lord, we just pray that you give her wisdom and discernment when it's time to tap out and come live with the son, come live with the daughter, and let the old lake property go. But, God, she's got to make that decision, figure all that out. But, Lord, we pray for her wisdom and discernment in that. We do lift up my dad to you tonight. We pray for my mom. We pray for my brother. Pray for his situation as he gets ready to go on hospice this week. Pray you watch over him, Lord. And, Father God, help me figure out what day I'm going this week to try to see and check on him and just make sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed with all this hospice stuff and, Lord, all these other things that are going on in their lives with medical care and everything they got facing right now. But, Lord, we pray for him, pray for his health. If it be thy will, Lord, you give him a miraculous healing from this Parkinson's and allow him to eat again. We just give you the glory for that. If this is the time, Lord, when you're showing him the valley of the shadow, we pray that it would be a peaceful walk through that old valley, that you'd be with him every step of the way as he eases off into eternity. We don't know when that is, Lord, you do, but Father God, we just lift him, Bob up to you tonight, praying for him. Lord, we think about the unspokens tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us. We can lay those things down at your feet. God, you're a sovereign God. You know exactly what we're dealing with, what we're struggling with, what we need, what help, and everything about these unspokens, Lord. And we're just thankful that you love us, you care for us, you're for us, not against us. And so, Lord, we lay these things down at your feet one more time and praise you and thank you for taking them from us. And then, Lord, as we close out our prayer time tonight, we lift up our nation. We pray for our president. We pray for his cabinet. We pray for the Secretary of Defense. We pray for that Pentagon building, Lord, as they're trying to figure out all this business going on in Afghanistan. And, Lord, we are continually praying that all the Americans that want out can get out. Lord, whether they get out from the roof of a hotel via a helicopter or they get out snaking through the checkpoints and getting to the airport, whatever, however, Lord, we pray you make a way for them. And, Lord, let them find the safest way home, and Lord, get them back to the green grass of these United States of America, Lord, off of that sand, off of that Afghanistan. So, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for our president. Give him wisdom, discernment. Lord, we pray that our government would not leave a man or woman behind that wants to come home. So, God, we pray that we do the right ethical, moral thing and bring our people home and get them out of that situation. Lord, thank you for loving us again. We thank you for our salvation, and thank you for your word tonight. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. This is our fourth swing at the bat, or with the bat at this passage. We're going to get further down into it, but probably won't finish it until Wednesday night. So we'll try to get a running start at this thing and see what we can do with it. Revelation 14, 1 through 5. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, right? 14, 1 through 5. Word of God reads in Revelation 14, 1 through 5, it says, "Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His name and the name of His Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of a harpist playing on their harps." You know that sound. It's a beautiful sound, right? "And they sang a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste." Your King James Version, New King James Version, has a little phrase after that, and we'll cover that in a minute. "These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless." All right. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of Your Word. May You add Your tremendous blessing to it. Thank you all for standing. You may be seated. Amen. So we've been covering triumphant Christians. What do triumphant Christians do? Triumphant Christians are marked by constant praise to God, right? Constant praise to God. You get that song lined out?
I got the lyrics so far.
All right, amen. We'll sing that at the end, amen?
Okay.
All right, we'll have you come up and do it at the end. All right, first, these triumphant 144,000, what do? They get their praise on, right? Mount Zion. I mean, they get it on. Their praise is instigated, we talked about, what appears to be a voice from heaven, but we said is really much more. We said the voice John heard was very loud and continuous. We said it was really more like a song. We're talking about a choir situation here. We said the voice, the song began with the four living creatures and the 24 elders in Revelation 5, 9 through 10. Then we said the next to join in were the myriads of angels in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. We said next, every created thing joins in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Then we said you have the tribulation martyrs joining the ever-building chorus in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. We said the mighty voice was not mere noise. It wasn't just like white noise. For this corporate praise had a musical quality, like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. What do you notice when somebody does that harp thing? You notice all the different notes? All the different pitches? All the different octaves? That's going to be the folks, man, singing that song of redemption. Amen? Every part on the octave scale is going to be covered. It will be beautiful, amen, when that song of redemption is sung. So what's really going on here? We asked the question. We said heaven will resound with loud praise when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in triumph to establish His earthly kingdom. Next, we talked about the exclusivity of this praise. John notes that no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. The unregenerate, those that are lost, they cannot sing the song of redemption. The song is only for the redeemed, those purchased by Christ's blood. So, why the song is restricted? We ask this question or pose this topic. Why the strong is Strong's concordance. Why the song? Miss Bicky, you ain't the only one. Amen? Why the song is restricted to the 144,000 is not stated. But we talked about approaching the Bible and approaching this passage systematically, and we delved all the way back to the very beginning of the story of redemption, or pretty close to the story of redemption, with the story of Noah, right? And how Noah was what? How he was separated, and how he was what? Sealed. And how he was what? Kept to begin again. And so maybe there's the tie there. Probably, I would say, yeah, but, you know, can't say 110%. So, Triumphant Christians are marked by what? Constant praise to God. As we delve off into what we're covering tonight, triumphant Christians take a stand against the sin of their culture. All right? The sin of their culture. Amen, amen? Amen. All right? So we're in 14, right? And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 and who had purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with what? With women, for they have kept themselves chaste. They've kept themselves chaste. Now, let's try to get a handle on the context of their day, all right, in the tribulation, leading up to the time when Jesus steps out on the Mount Zion and comes for his second advent. The worship of the Antichrist leading up to Jesus' second coming, the worship of the Antichrist during the tribulation will no doubt be vile and perverse. I mean, it's going to be awful. We only have to go back to the Old Testament. Go looking in the Old Testament, go back to our Bibles, again, systematically, go flip back through there, go back to the Old Testament and be reminded. We only have to look back there to be reminded of the fertility cults of the Old Testament covenant era. Well, as sexual sin was rampant in the Old Testament by the fertility cults, we can only suppose that during the height of the tribulation and Antichrist power, that as people worship Satan through his unholy trinity, sexual sin and perversion will be difficult to comprehend how bad it literally is going to get. Now, we say, well, preacher, it's pretty bad now. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you go to the East Coast and the West Coast and you talk about the websites they have now and the places where people can meet up and hook up and all the sexual stuff and connotation, everything that's going on. Yeah, it's bad now, but it's going to only get worse when it gets into that time of tribulation, right? Now, why will things be so vile? Why will they be so gross? Why will they be just completely off the chart? Well, the divine restraint of the real church has been removed through the rapture. For 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, church is gone, been raptured out, right? The restraining power of the person of the Holy Spirit has left with all of these Christians that have gone. Amen? So they're gone. He's out. God has turned the lost over to their fleshly desires. Take your Bibles. We'll flippy-do over to Romans. Right? Romans chapter 1. Let me know when you're there. That's 1. That's 2. 3. More got it? All right. Romans 1. 24 through 31. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among men. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a what? Depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Friend, it's going to be something. This was going on in the first century. This is going to be something, right? God has turned the lost over to their fleshly desires. He does that today. He will do that in the tribulation. You will see that. And people who are living the lie of a depraved mind think they have their choice. But what do they have? I talked about it today. They're living their public judgment. That's what they're living. They're living their public judgment. They've been turned over to a depraved mind. They're living it. They're living their public judgment. I mean, do you, a Christian in his right mind, him or her genuinely saved, do you look at somebody that's gone off in a depraved state, that you know of that's in a depraved state, that you pray for that's in a depraved state, do you look off at that person and say, well, that person's really blessed. That person's really living their choice. Go for them. Good for them. You don't say that, do you? No, your heart breaks. Your heart breaks. Why? They're living their judgment. Now, is that all their judgment? Mm-mm. No. If they're saved, what have they cast away? The rewards. If they're lost, what say you? They're going to be in a place prepared for the devil and the false prophet and his antichrist, right? So, during the great tribulation that these 144,000 will live in, sin will be released like a flood inundating the world. You say, it cannot get any... It is going to be worse, much worse than it is today. Inundating the world. The instigators and the agitators of this sin and wickedness are none other than Satan and his demon hosts. Remember, don't forget this. There were many demons cast out of heaven with him in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And in addition, you have those vile demons newly released from imprisonment per chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, and chapter 9, verses 14 through 19. You say, how can it get so worse? I can tell you how it's getting worse. There's going to be fewer people and more demons, more demonic. It will be worse. That is the contextual environment during the darkness of the tribulation period that the 144,000 will rise up and ascend as victors in, right? Because the gospel, even with the absence of the church, the gospel, even with the absence of the Christians, the Holy Spirit being taken out with the church, the gospel still has power to save. And the Word of God is true. And what has been prophesied is going to come to fruition. You've got to hold on to that. Amen? You've got to hold on to that. So their refusal, the 144,000, their refusal to participate in the culture's sinful practices will be like a great light shining in the darkness, friend. Shining in the darkness. We were trying to find old Boo, one of our rescue cats. He sleeps in the garage, and he was MIA, missing in action. And the kids were like, we can't find Boo. And so they went and got my little headlamp. My headlamp's what I use when I'm working on the plumbing or working on the car. Or I'm trying to see my pencil line on my cement board. And I put my green, what's that green stuff, that water barrier. And you draw your pencil line on that. Well, man, you can't hardly see it. So I put the headlamp on there so I can see my pencil line, so I can put my tile in there. I wear a little headlamp, but it's not real bright. So they get that, and they're out there shining around with that little headlamp. And I'm thinking, you know, man, that ain't the one. So they go in, and I go upstairs, and I've got one of these high-powered. I mean high-powered. It's, Bobby, it's something. Vince, it's something. Instead of pulling your firearm, you pull this thing and hit the strobe on somebody, and it will literally blind you. When I first got it, and I'd play with it, my wife would be, don't you point that at me. Don't you point. Well, I got that thing and went outside. And I could see all the way through the trees, all the way to the softball field, some 45 feet, 50 feet away, right? Well, no cat. He was in the neighbor's garage. We had to wake the neighbors up to get him out. And we finally went to the front yard, and we go, "Boo, where are you? Come home." We hear this, "Meow." And then we get close to the house, and we hear this constant, "Meow, meow." So we had to knock on the door, wake them up. So anyway, they started shutting their garage. Amen? Like their garage, because they know the priest. But anyway, we're talking about a bright light. Amen? A bright light shining in the darkness. Amen? Their behavior, how they handle themselves. I mean, friend, I'm telling you, they're going to, compared to the world, the world is going to be so sinful, and they are going to be so righteous that you are, they're going to stick out. Amen? Like a sore thumb or like a good thumb. Amen? They're going to stick out like a good thumb because they are the righteous and the saved in this situation. Despite the rampant sexual sin that surrounds them, they will not be defiled with women, but they will keep themselves, the Bible says, chaste. So based on the text, the specific sin that they will avoid involves women, which indicates that sexual purity is in view here. Now, I'm preaching to the choir, Sunday night crowd, talking about sexual purity, preach to the choir. But those of you online, whoever's watching, maybe preach to the choir there. But it still doesn't negate the truth. Sexual purity is in view here. Now, we've already made the point that the 144,000 will separate from Antichrist's empire because these boys, what do? They bear God's seal. They don't have Antichrist's mark. They've got the seal of the Father and the seal of the Son written on their foreheads. And the testimony of their separated lives is their refusal to participate in immorality. They will not do it. Now, the question has been asked, and the debate has been started. Are any of them, perhaps, married? Are any of these guys married? Now, your King James Version and your New King James Version translations have that added phrase that some other translations do not have. It says, "For they are virgins," right? You got that in your Bible? "For they are virgins." Now, scholars are divided because that Greek word there for chaste, which the King James Version adds that phrase onto, it's just one word, that King James Version does mean virgin, but it's in the feminine sense. It's talking about a maiden, and these are all men. So scholars are divided. Some say perhaps they're married. Since sex within marriage, physical relations within marriage, doesn't defile anybody, per Hebrews chapter 13, 4, while other scholars, and your pastor tends to agree with these guys, point out that the practical implications of keeping a wife and a family alive during this great persecution of the Antichrist are almost impossible. Impossible. So what can we say for sure? What can we say for sure when we think about this? The men, these 144,000, will stand apart from the sin of their culture. 144,000 morally pure preachers amid the defilement that surrounds them. I mean, it's going to be rough, friend, right? Sexual purity, when we think about triumphant Christians, take a stand against the sin of their culture. Sexual purity is essential to triumphant Christian living. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." 2 Timothy 2:22, "Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, "Food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body." 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body." So, those who would serve God effectively must lead holy, pure lives. Perfect lives? Holy, pure lives. So, who in here this evening I know what I would answer, but let me ask you. Who in here this evening would want to use dirty, filthy tools to work on their car? Dirty, filthy tools to work on their house? How many of you would want to use dirty, filthy pots and pans to prepare a meal in? Anybody? No. No, we want the tool clean, amen, or relatively clean, right? We want to wipe the muck and the mire off of it, spray a little WD-40 on it, put a little penetrating oil on it, whatever. Wipe that thing down. Get it ready for the next use, right? We want that thing looking decent, that tool, right? We don't want it rusted. We don't want it muddy. We don't want it yucky. We don't want chunks of cat food in our pan that we're going to fry eggs in, amen? No, we don't want that. We don't want clumps of cat hair in our pot that we're about to pour our soup in, do we? No, we don't want that. We don't want anything like that. We want our stuff clean. If you drop your firearm in the mud, right, you're out hunting or you're at the outdoor gun range and you had a lot of rain and you drop that firearm in the mud, in the muck, certainly you would clean that dude off before you discharged a round down range, right? You would wipe it off. You would clean the action. You would take your bottle of water or something in a rag, and you would get that junk off of it before you pointed it and took aim and discharged around down range at an animal or down range at a target or down range at an enemy, man. You would take care of it, right? Well, a clean vessel for the gospel dispenses the power of God. Discharges the power of God, the truth of God, more effectively for His glory than a dirty vessel does. I hope that makes sense to you tonight. Amen? I hope it does. So, triumphant Christians take a stand against the sin of their culture. And finally tonight, triumphant Christians follow the leadership of their Lord. Where were we at here? 14, Revelation, right? These are the ones that have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb, what? Wherever He, what? Goes, right? Wherever He goes. They will be loyal. They will allow no rivals. They will not refuse God's call to go anywhere, nor will they allow any kind of distraction or any kind of restraint to lessen their dedication to the Lamb. Nothing. Now, if you haven't thought about it or imagined it, think about it and imagine with me for a moment. There will be all kinds of public opportunities that will be afforded to these 144,000 loyal followers of Christ. Think about it just for a moment. The Antichrist is speaking publicly at this venue in Dubai, right? He's in Dubai. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people to hear him. Who will go? Who will go and preach the gospel to the crowds? Who will go? You know what they'll say? We'll go. We'll go. Right? There's a mass installation of world government leaders installing the mark of the beast on all that will receive it in New Delhi, India. I mean, man, there's people lining up. They're going to give that mark of the beast out to millions of people. Who will go and preach the gospel to them to tell them not to take the mark of the beast, that they can be saved? Who will go? It's 144,000 will go. They'll go. There's a massive earthquake. You know, we've talked about the earthquakes and everything going on and the judgments and the seals and the trumpets and everything. There's a massive earthquake. I believe this is coming. I may be all wet, but it's just me. There's a massive earthquake along the San Andreas Fault of the United States of America, right? And California is not on fire. California is not experiencing drought. California is hundreds of feet underwater in the Pacific Ocean. They've fallen off the United States, right? Because of this massive earthquake at the San Andreas Fault. Well, the survivors, the hundreds of thousands of survivors out of the millions of people that have died, the survivors are descending on Las Vegas. They're going to Las Vegas to take the mark, to forget about their troubles, and to party in wicked and debauched immorality and abandonment. And who will go? Who will go tell those people about the love of Christ and about the gospel? You know who will go? 144,000 will go. Amen? They are loyal to the very end. They will go. Today, loyal, devoted followers is who Jesus seeks. Loyal, devoted followers. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" The rich young ruler, Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Jesus told the unbelieving Jews in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Paul declared himself to be a follower of Christ in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." And John reminded his readers in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, "The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he," talking about Jesus, "as he walked." Amen? Today, loyal, devoted followers is who Jesus seeks. And apparently you're trying to make a stand in that because you're here on Sunday night. Amen? Thank you all for being here. Brother Jeremiah, you got your song cued? All right, let's sing Brother Bill's hymn. Sing it, sing it, sing it.
I do now. "Where we'll never grow old. I have heard of a land on the far away strand, this a beautiful home of the soul. Built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. This the land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old. When our work here is done, and the life's crown is won, and our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones we've gone on before. Never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old." Amen. Amen. I'll leave it up here.
Spiritual success. Lord, we'll have some spiritual
Amen.